Good morning, everyone. I don't know if you watch any makeover programs on TV. They were certainly popular before the pandemic struck, but they have apparently become even more so as many of us stuck at home have turned to DIY, to renovating our homes or our gardens or even our garden sheds. Even Charlie Dimmock has made a comeback to our screens, transforming people's gardens to the cooing and effusive delight of their owners. Makeovers can be extended to people themselves, not only to their clothes, though there are plenty of shows that dress people in creative ways to transform their image, usually from something that is considered plain or boring to something more lively. Yet again, makeovers can be extended from clothes to their bodies. Now, let's not let our imaginations run away with ourselves. I'm thinking of people whose noses they may consider to be too big or crooked, or teeth that are not white enough, or ears that stick out too much. I'm sure I can see you nodding as you look at me on your screens. Be kind, people. The list of makeovers and the programs that endlessly tell their stories just go on and on, don't they? Pooch Perfect. Looking at makeovers for your dog, I imagine, is just the latest in a very long line. Makeovers are about changing external elements of people's lives to make them feel good about themselves, with the promise that their self-image will improve and their lives will be better than before. Many of those things, I'm sure you would agree, are superficial, and I wonder how long-lasting the results are. Though there are some real human interest stories, aren't there, that reflect the best in human nature as a whole, as whole communities come together to help a disabled serviceman build a home to meet his additional housing needs. That brought a tear to my eye, I must tell you. But I'm still left asking, why is our culture so fascinated with makeovers? What is it about us as human beings that draws us to such before and after scenarios? How much do these things show a profound lack in our own lives? Something that's missing. That heartfelt need in our lives for transformation of some kind is actually addressed supremely in the gospel, in the Christian good news story. Here we not only see the need for change, but we're shown how God has provided us with the means to bring it about through the sacrificial work of Jesus in his life, his death, and his resurrection. And the work of the Holy Spirit as the agent of empowerment and transformation in our lives. As we resume our series in the book of Ezekiel, we read of echoes of this work of God to transform and to restore. Having prophesied God's judgment for many years, Ezekiel is given a more hopeful message for the exiles from around chapter 33, verse 21 onwards. Let me outline some of the promises that God is making to his people here, transformational promises for that people. They will have a new leader, a new king. Chapter 34, verses 1 to 24 tells that story. The Lord's servant David to shepherd them. Remember, in the ancient Near East, the shepherds would lead their flocks from the front rather than drive them from the back, which we tend to do in the Western world these days. So this shepherd boy, David, would become the shepherd king, as it were, and lead God's people. They will have A new land, chapter 35, right through to chapter 36, verse 15. A land free from trouble. Oh, don't we all long for that? A land free from trouble and now fruitful with an increasing population to provide security and with cities that have been rebuilt after their decimation. They will be a new people. Again, chapter 36, verses 16 through to chapter 37, verse 25. A people no longer wayward and rebellious, but a people cleansed, a people renewed and given a new heart by the Spirit of God. They were changed, they were transformed by God, by His Spirit. They will have a new covenant, a new agreement with God. Chapter 34 through to chapter 37, an everlasting relationship with God. He will be their God and they will be His people forever. And they will have a new temple. Chapter 40, verses 1 through to 40, to all the way through to chapter 48, actually, in verse 35. A new temple, the glory and the presence of the Lord dwelling with His people. Not only will be their God, but He will be with them, among them. These are significant makeover stories. But more than something superficial, they are deeply transformational. They are significant markers in the biblical story that beyond Israel's restoration reaches forward into the New Testament and is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. So throughout chapters 33, where the temperature changes, if you like, the tempo changes, the direction changes from judgment to restoration. Throughout chapters 33 to 39, Ezekiel envisages a return from exile to a repopulated and fruitful land, freedom from enemy harassment, and with the benefit of the wise reign of a king from the line of David, who will be a good shepherd to the people. Well, that's hope, isn't it? That's real and significant hope. And aren't we in a position where we want real and significant hope that our land, our world, will be free from pandemic and economic trouble and instead will be fruitful? But something more fundamental even than these blessings is required. At the heart of God's promises is the restoration of the people themselves, which God will bring about as He pledges to cleanse His people and give them a new heart and a new spirit. And that's in chapter 36, verses 25 to 26, important verses. This renewing work will come about through the Holy Spirit, verse 27, who will enable God's covenant people to walk in His ways and enjoy His blessings. So significant is this promise of restoration that it's confirmed to Ezekiel in a powerful vision showing how God can bring piles of dry bones together, put flesh on them, and breathe His Spirit into them, reanimating them, bringing them back to life. Chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. It's perhaps the most famous of Ezekiel's visions. Many a song, them bones, them bones, them dry bones, the gospel song sang. The God who was encountered in Ezekiel's first vision, whose Spirit set Ezekiel on his feet, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, now promises to breathe life into spiritually dead Israel, into God's spiritually dead people. before the final vision of a renewed temple where God once again dwells with his people, the Lord promises this: I will pour out my spirit on the people of Israel. Chapter 39, verse 29. The presence of the Lord's spirit provides the permanent seal of this, of God's covenant with his people. So it is that from his own first encounter with God's powerful, animating breath, Ezekiel models something of the transformation God's covenant people undergo. It is the Spirit who makes possible Ezekiel's obedience. Ezekiel's called, Ezekiel has an amazing vision, but to see it fulfilled, to fulfill his calling under God to proclaim these things to a wayward people, a people who didn't necessarily want to hear what Ezekiel had to say, who struggled sometimes to understand what Ezekiel had to say. It was the Spirit at work in him and the Spirit at work in others who enabled Ezekiel's obedience to tell God's story. And the same Spirit enabled God's people to respond to God's story. It's the same Spirit who brings life to God's people and who enables their ongoing service to God. And it is his permanent transformative presence which empowers us to love our and live out our calling as witnesses to who he is and what he's done. It's God at work in us. It's God's Spirit at work in each of us. God present in each of our lives by his Holy Spirit that enables us to live out our calling as witnesses to who God is, what he has done, and what he has in store for all people, that they should flourish. And so it's God's Spirit that helps us to point others to Ezekiel's God and our God. Well, Ezekiel certainly has an interesting journey, doesn't he? He has interesting visions. He proclaims faithfully what God has called him to do. He tells God's story. It's a makeover story. It's a story of transformation, of lives that have floundered in some way. Lives that are looking for fulfillment in all kinds of places. Lives looking for a makeover. And God says, let me do the makeover. Let me bring the transformation that will bring you everlasting fulfillment, satisfaction, peace, joy, all those wonderful things that we seek in so many different ways. And so Ezekiel's calling God's people, as God is calling all of us, to turn to him, to trust him, even in the deepest, darkest times, even when we can't see what the future will hold, when we're looking for some kind of global, local, personal makeover. Let God make you into the people he's always wanted you to be. Make us, all of us. So let's pray that he will do so as we allow and enable him in our own lives. Let's pray now. Almighty God, we're so thankful that you haven't abandoned us to whatever the mechanisms of this world and our lives hold. You come and you intervene. You bring transformation that is long, long lasting, everlasting. You change our lives by your Holy Spirit, by your good news lived out. Help us to live it out. Help us to bring that that hopeful and helpful story to others. Help us to bring them to that relationship that we can have with you that transforms our lives eternally. And help us at this difficult time to remain hopeful in you, that the work you have begun in us, you will see through to completion, that you won't abandon us and leave us alone, but you will continue that work in our lives now. Thank you that we can trust in you, and in trusting you, in you, we have a hope that this world itself cannot bring. Only you can. And so lead us on, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.